Welcome to the Cloisters. Welcome to the Cloisters Lounge. Welcome to the Cloisters Lounge. Come on in and sit on down. Listen as we break it down. From hymns above to songs anew, sharing the things important to you. Come on in and sit on down. Listen as we break it down. Cause there's at the Cloisters, Cloisters Lounge.
Hello, YouTube audience, and welcome to the Cloisters Lounge. Thank you again for journeying into the lounge, and thank you all for continuing to be part of this journey. We are well into this second season, and we've really made some great strides just with our interviews and just with the overall community response that we've had to the lounge. Just want to continue to ask that you all continue to like, share, and subscribe. If you have not done so, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and just continue to listen to the podcast or whatever medium is most comfortable for you. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, a few others as well. There's great content that's on TikTok and Instagram and some of the other places. So however and wherever it is that you have attached yourself to the Cloisters Lounge, first and foremost, we thank you. Just ask you to continue to share the good news and glad tidings of joy as we continue with the momentum that we've built here in the Cloisters Lounge. Today, I am honored and pleased to welcome a person that I have grown to love and admire over the course of the years. I had a wonderful chance to spend some years with her there in the Nort Tabernacle, a absolutely wonderful musician in her own right. You're going to hear just how the Lord has blessed her, you know, musically in our song association portion a little bit later on. But without further ado, I just want to introduce to some, present to others, the one and only St. Jackie Jones. So St. Jackie, welcome to the Cloisters Lounge.
Oh, thank you, Brother Matthew and Brother Blake. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm honored.
Absolutely. It was our pleasure to have you. And thank you so much just for giving us a little bit of time here this afternoon. So just to kind of jumpstart things, and I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit just in terms of the questions I normally ask. But I want to start in going back to the year 2002. Mm. This was our former leader, Chief Rabbi J.U. August Crowdy Jr.'s first Passover. And during that Passover, there was an evening activity or evening program where he was honored. And I think you were one of the artists that performed during that particular program. It was an absolutely wonderful program. What do you remember about that program? How is it that one of the songs that you selected, I believe, to sing was one of the Luther Vandross songs? So kind of how was it that you became part of that particular program? And how is it that you decided to sing that particular song that you chose?
Great. Thank you. You know, I had to think about who actually suggested that song. I thought it must have been my brother, Ernest Jones Jr.
Yes, yes.
And if I'm incorrect, somebody let me know. But I'm pretty sure he could, because I didn't know what to sing. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that'll work. So that's how I ended up singing that song.
Love has truly been good to me. You've come my way. I hope you know we'd gladly go anywhere you take us. It's so amazing to be loved. We'd follow you to the moon and the sky above.
It was absolutely beautiful and perfect. Just the lyrics, you know, kind of as you kind of go through the lyrics, it absolutely was perfect for that moment. And then I believe a couple years afterward, I think in 2004, you were part of the Artistic Life program that we did at another Passover, I think 2004, like I mentioned. And I believe one of the songs that you did there was one of my favorites, the over my head. So what do you recall about that particular program? Kind of how it was that you became part of that? Anything that kind of sticks out in your mind, just in terms of when as you review and reflect on that?
Just an honor to be a part of that and to be asked to do that. Just trying to pick the right song or whatever, most appropriate song. But always, you know, being nervous. Like I'm actually just I'm nervous about being here because I don't like to talk.
It's all right. You're doing great.
Thank you. And I'm actually nervous when I sing. I don't like to sing in front of people. When most people
I cannot believe that, but I understand.
You know, so I had to work through that many years ago when I kind of was realizing, well, it seems like I'm going to be singing like every week or whatever, so I can't get so nervous, you know, my stomach, you know, and not the week before or whatever. So it's interesting, like one of the ways I kind of work with that is just I try to focus on the music itself, like focus on how grateful I am to just be participating in this thing called music, like and just focus on my love for the song or musicians I'm playing with and just be in that moment. And also just know that, I mean, somebody's coming out to support you, they're going to be supportive. People are not coming out to support you when they say other things, they're going to do that anyway, and you're going to have both of those there.
So, sure.
You just got to see where your focus is going to lie. But but other than that, I'm very content with just being in the back somewhere. Or maybe God being bless. In the studio, but having to be in front of people is but I'm also grateful. I'm very grateful that people are receptive and people are mostly kind and say nice things and that they want to hear me sing. So I am grateful for that. So
awesome. Awesome. I definitely want to come back to that experience as well. So that'll be a question that I'll come back to here in a moment. So just kind of starting from the beginning, you know, who are some of your earliest musical influences within the congregation? They're kind of growing up in the North Tabernacle. Who are some people that kind of left an imprint on you kind of as you were matriculating and growing, growing up in the congregation?
You know, interestingly enough, my memories are me, maybe about 13 years old, give or take, and my sister, Marquita Jones Barnes, who was actually Chantrice's mother, hearing her sing, like, you know, they call you up every other week or whatever to sing. Her solo was The Impossible Dream. And she sounded so beautiful. I remember I was like, wow, she was one of my first people that I just thought was, just had such an amazing voice and just sang so beautifully. And it turns out she went, well, we get to that part, but she went to the high school I went. She's 10 years old, 9 years older than me. So mm-hmm. she went to the high school I went to called Arts High School, Performing Arts. And I was so surprised years later to find out she went there for clarinet. She didn't sing there because I just thought, you know, she's just such a great, great singer. So great, great voice. So that's what mm-hmm. I did for her a lot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Doing her solos. And then one of my favorite choristers at the time was William Bofur.
Yes, indeed.
That and love that. And definitely Zeph, Uncle Zeph or Zephaniah.
Yes.
He was influential as well. And St. Lucretia Donaldson came to visit at one point, and I was like, oh, St. You know, like she was the choir mistress or choir chorister that mm-hmm. I admired as far as female choristers. And that's probably some other people, but that's mm-hmm. what I've seen so far.
Sure.
And then sure. Don't let me forget to talk about my so that was when I grew up. Mm-hmm. I wasn't then when I got to college, I wasn't coming out for a while. Then I came back and it was a person that was very instrumental and having me come back in the choir, and I'll say my resurgence, so to speak, into the person is you.
Oh, God bless. God bless. God bless.
That was a very powerful time for me. So,
God bless. I appreciate that. So, if we kind of get to, you know, kind of as you're, you know, matriculating and it kind of even in your high school time and things like that, mm-hmm. I know that you've done and have some experience like scoring some music and things like that.
Right.
I've actually seen one of your song sheets where you scored one of Brother Joseph Person's songs. Mm-hmm. So just what can you tell me about, you know, kind of how you became interested maybe in taking up scoring the music? I know you talked about going to an arts high school and things like that. Was that maybe part of that process mm-hmm. there? So what can you tell me just about, you know, scoring some of the music that you scored?
I would say I was able to do that mostly because, I played flutes in sixth grade.
Okay.
So I did from sixth grade on up to high school. Actually, I still play, but that wasn't when I just did that. So I went to Performing Arts High School, sort of like Fame, if you've seen the movie Fame.
Yes.
That's what my high school was like.
Okay.
It was Performing Arts High School, they call it Arts High School in Newark. It's actually a school where it had some alumni, such as Sarah Vaughn there. And I didn't sing at all at Arts High School, so I didn't even really know who she was. And we had this big assembly, and she came to visit, and it was like Sarah, all the news cameras were there and everything. And then when I graduated, I'm like, oh my God, that was Sarah Vaughn, right?
And I'm sure that people maybe my age and younger may not know that name. Mm-hmm. We got to put something in here about Sarah Vaughn is kind of a contemporary, like the Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday.
Yeah,
that was a gifted and a blessed voice. She had just such command over so many different octaves.
Yeah,
she was amazing. But Sarah, if you haven't heard of Sarah Vaughn, young people, look her up. Sarah Vaughn. Yes, go right on ahead.
She went to Arts High School, and Tisha Campbell went to Arts High School. She was a year, she was a year below me. So
okay.
I didn't know her very well, but we met each other at the school and everything.
Wowie.
So she's a graduate of that. And mm-hmm. So at Arts, like I said, I didn't sing at all there. So it was mostly flute. And then I took a lot of theory. So that's how I was able to do it, from the music theory, and then a little bit piano, you know, played in the jazz band, the concert band, the orchestra. And that was my main focus. So,
mm-hmm. Gotcha. And that's kind of where the scoring and things like that. So when did you know, like, when did it dawn on you that you, like, you know, not only can I carry a note, like, I have something here. Like, when did that realization kind of come to you?
That's an interesting question, because you would think, like, maybe from being in Kagasak, you know, being in the choir since 13 and, you know, that it would come from there. But it's like, you know, everybody at our organization sings, right? It's like, I'm going to tell you, one time I was not too long ago, I was in Virginia for one of the Passovers or something. And somebody in the ladies' room was like, oh, you're the singer, right? And I was like, for like 3 seconds, I forgot I was a singer. Because it's like, everybody there's, and like, there's so, I'm just in awe. Like, every day, every moment. I'm like, I do sing, I guess. I didn't have that from a, you know, child being in Caucus. I just, oh, that's what you do in Caucus.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't a big deal. But my brother, Ernest Jones, he saw something in me, and he was definitely my main promoter, main supporter. When I got to college, I was on the front porch or like the steps of my dorm, and this guy, I was humming, and this guy heard me humming, a friend of mine, he's like, you want to sing with our band? And I'm like, all he ever do is home. And I was like, okay. So I sit there and I'm like singing, you know, I go to the rehearsal and like, they didn't kick me out. I did like some gigs with them. So I guess it was okay. But I thought it was a little bizarre. And then I started doing like gigs on campus and started developing a repertoire. And then my brother, when I was 20, he invited me to this bar/jazz club in Plainfield, New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was called Joan Chateau. Kind of, Joan Chateau. And a friend of his was singing. And then she invited me to come up and sing a song. So so because I had some repertoire, I got up and I sang My Funny Valentine.
Yes, yes.
After that, the owner asked me about singing there every week. And that was like my like first gig other than like gigging on campus. And from that time, now I remember it was 4 months before I turned 21 because they celebrated my 21st birthday in that bar. And like, shit, weren't you supposed to be in there? And now they, you know, like, anyway, so I was made legal and it was okay at that point, but kind of sneakingly.
Yes, indeed.
And, but ever since then, I have been singing on average, getting paid to sing on average twice a week ever since. Mm-hmm. I'm 58 now. So that's,
God bless.
So I'm grateful for that. Without a manager, I say God is my manager, because I don't.
Amen.
I don't, you know, go looking for gigs or anything like that. But then other musicians will call me, or I get email, you know, invitations to email, things like that. So that's, so I was just shocked. I honestly, even to the day, I'm like, it just shocks me that people pay me to sing. It always has. It's shocked me. So
God bless. Well, like when you're moving with God's speed, you know, things just kind of happen, you know, divinely. So it's almost like your steps are ordered, because there's another power that's kind of leading you through that entire process. So that's beautiful, and you're evidence, you know, of that. So you know, kind of, and you mentioned it already. Who are maybe, and you alluded to it, I should say, who are some of your musical influences outside of the congregation? You mentioned, you know, Sarah Vaughan and Tisha Campbell kind of going to the same school that you're at. Not that they may or may not be, you know, some of your influences, but who are some of the musical influences outside of the congregation that's really have kind of shaped your musical journey and your musical career?
Well, there's so many, but at the top of my head, I will mention Phyllis Hyman. That's one of my
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, I teach jazz voice at the New Jersey Performing Arts, and for teenagers, and I would always tell them, I call it, if they want to get into jazz or singing jazz, the Sensational Seven. The Sensational Seven. And the Sensational Seven is like, I remember because it's like 2, 2, 2, 4, 6, and then there's one at the, you know, kind of like this, the seventh. And I kind of paired them together. So you got Billie Holiday and Dinah Washington. Yeah.
Come on now.
You mentioned Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then Carmen McRae and Betty Carter. I paired them up. And then the last one, just because of no importance of like hierarchy or anything.
Sure.
Nancy Wilson.
Mm.
That's probably one of my favorites is Nancy
Wilson. Lord have
And she's on the CD with Cannonball Adderley and Nat Adderley, the father of Nat Adderley Jr. She's there's a recording where she's singing Save Your Love for Me, very classic Nancy Wilson song, and that's on that Cannonball Adderley recording.
I love that. So that actually kind of leads me into another question that I wanted to ask you. So, you know, for maybe some of our musicians, you know, singers within the congregation, who have a desire to maybe explore either a musical education journey, a performing arts career, things like that, you're uniquely qualified to kind of give some of your own personal experience and maybe some thoughts in terms of how they can maybe move in that direction. So, you know, if someone were to come to you like, hey, you know, St. Jackie, I'm kind of interested in exploring a professional career in music or in singing. What would be maybe some things just off the top of your head that you maybe, you know, kind of give them, kind of coach them into that process?
Well, I would say from a jazz music perspective or a jazz singer perspective, I would share if they wanted to sing jazz, whatever, things like to have a repertoire, to learn like jazz standards, and then to also like go out to sing. Like when I sang at Joan Chateau the first time when my brother's friend invited me up, they call that sitting in. So I sat in. So you want to go to jam sessions and you sit in. And that's like basically just impromptu getting up and singing with the band. But one of the things that's really important is to know your keys. Know your keys to each song you want to sing. Usually you'll sing one or two songs. But the first thing the piano player is going to, what's your key? And if you don't know that, then you know you're not, you know. So you could get together with a piano player and get your keys for your songs. So that's important.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Now, let me, to that point, what are some of the things that you do to keep your instrument, to maintain your instrument? What are some of the things that you do that kind of help you, you know, just at the drop of a dime, like we get to the song association piece, you're just ready to sing, you're ready, bam. You know, everybody can't do that. So how do you keep your instrument maintained?
I'm not pedigree. I'm really bad at that. I never studied music. I was actually pre-med in college, and then my degree is actually
really?
Yeah. And so I never really took music. So I'm really, and I thought funny. I heard Sarah Vaughan say this too, and this is don't do this. Don't be like me and Sarah Vaughan. We don't warm up anything like that. Funny, in my older age, I do feel like I probably need to sing a little bit before I start singing. But I didn't really do that. I never did much of that. But the one time I did sort of was challenging my voice was if I was back in the day, there was smoke in bars. I'm so glad that they don't do that anymore. I think I had a cold one night and I was talking is the word, like if you're talking, especially over loud music or, you know, yelling, that's the worst thing you could do for your voice. So I remember I did that. And then the next day I was very challenged. I was definitely trying to like get through some kind of scales just to make sure I had a middle register for the next day. But generally I not really good at that. Now my niece Chantry, she's better with that. As you know, she'll tell you what exercises and she, She's more pedigree. I have a story about her when I was...
Tell the story. That's right. Yes, put it up there.
She was 13. I probably was about, I think I'm like 12. I don't know. In my 20s. So she, somebody said, to her, she said, you're going to sing like your Aunt Jackie? And she said, I'm going to sing better than my Aunt Jackie. And she does.
Oh, that's a good one. I thank you for sharing that. And I hope St. Chantrice is watching.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she's great.
That's great. That's great. Now, I appreciate whatever you're doing, you know, your instrument is well maintained. So that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
You know,
so
I don't smoke. I don't drink. I just don't like alcohol. If I did, thank goodness I don't like it. I don't smoke, I don't drink. And dairy I like dairy, but I think dairy could be kind of bad in your voice. So I would say those things.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. So taking notes there. So have you ever been recorded? Do you have any recordings out there that we can get a hold of at all?
Yes. Well, I do have an album, a CD, whatever, I did many, many years ago called Part of Me. It is on Apple. You can get it on Apple Music or Spotify or any of those platforms. A little secret. I have a recording that I did, I say right before 2020, that never came out. But I do have it available like on YouTube, like for anybody that requests, and I could, you know, I'll send it to you. Maybe I'll just send it to you guys.
The course is lounge. We're an inclusive promotion based type of atmosphere here. Yes, we're going to do what we can to assist with that before the, you know, 2020, the world shut down. So I definitely understand how things could have changed there. So, you know, definitely want to make sure that we promote our folks from within.
So I did record a song too that is also available. It's a single called Grateful. And it's a song I wrote called Grateful.
Okay. Yes, and, ma'am.
So that's a single that's available as well.
Through everything that I have been through, and I'm so grateful for your love, patience with me. You never let me down. That's why I love you. Yeah. I'm so grateful for you.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. So yes. I just kind of want to go back in my memory bank in our experience.
Yes.
St. Jackie Jones had I can't remember exactly where the event was, Brother Blake Housen, who of course is always here behind the screen, YouTube art, you know, he's always close. That's the engine that makes this whole thing go. But Brother Blake Housen, Brother Jonathan Roberts, Elder Nathan Caldwell and myself, we used to have a group called the Brothers, you know, trying to harmonize a little bit here and there. But we had the pleasure of us singing with St. Jackie. One of the songs that we sang was Evergreen. I want to say it was one of those programs that the Newark Tabernacle had put on.
Love, fresh as the morning. certain that love would grow. Love, ageless and evergreen, seldom seen by two.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yes, that was, it was such an honor to do that with you, young man. There were, I just enjoyed that. How old were you guys? Would you say 16?
Somewhere in that range. So probably
not, Eldon, not above 18.
Yeah, I think Eldon Nate would have been the youngest in that. So I want to say I was kind of in that early college range.
Okay.
So like I said, I would say no older than maybe, you know, 20,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which would have put, you know, if Brother Blake was like in that 20 range, the rest of us were kind of younger than that, but okay. no older than that.
Right.
No older than that.
Oh, guys, it's so wonderful. It was such a pleasure to do that.
It was an awesome time, mm-hmm. awesome experience to have that. So kind of getting to our staple question, mm-hmm. and maybe some of our young people may not know this, but St. Jackie is a chorister. All right. So my staple question here in the lounge, when, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister?
Okay. Two-part answer to that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, let's see, as far as I can remember, and I was, I would say about 16.
Okay.
When my uncle Evangelist Benjamin Quattlebaum.
Yes, ma'am.
Presiding, and I was appointed chorister. Then, because, like you said, the young people, they just gave me something to do. All right, you chorister now. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I did that, and might have been even younger than that. Mm-hmm, so that was mm-hmm. my first time. And then, like I said, I went to college, and then I just was kind of out doing whatever I was doing out in the world, and wasn't really coming out for a long time. And then when I came back to service, your father was presiding, Rabbi Curtis Caldwell. And I would just come in every week, but when I come in, and I would sit in the back. And, you know, I didn't have a uniform or anything. Like, I was so far removed at this point. And eventually it was like, it's kind of like if you smell something good cooking in the kitchen and you just kind of waffle like towards it, like, what is that? That smells good. That was you, like, leading the choir. It was like, I was sitting in the back, and before I knew it, I was in the choir, you know, white and black, whatever, because I was in the first row first. And then, like, I got to the first, I was like inching up, you know, then I was in the choir. And I just loved you so much. And like, your father would be like, I wish I could sing, because he knew I was coming just for you. And it was just so amazing. So I remember we were marching around the wall, so holy days, and your mother, Saint Edith, we call everybody aunt, uncle, and yes. Like Aunt Edie.
Yes, ma'am.
Aunt Edie gave me, I think, a blue waist.
Yes.
And Aunt Harriet, Saint Harriet Atkins, gave me a brown skirt. Karen Ward, Sister Elder Karen Ward, gave me shoes.
Yes.
And I put those things, I felt like Cinderella. I was like, it fits so well. It fits so perfectly. I was like, oh my God. So then that Sabbath came out. We were about to march around the walls. And then your father presented me with a rosette.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
It's a rosette. And so that's how I kind of got reinstated, I would say.
Beautiful.
Yes, Lord.
I love everything about that. And I think it's important for anyone that's watching this, that's in the congregation. Listen, everybody's journey is their own. Mm-hmm. Everybody's journey is their own. Some of us take linear paths. Mm-hmm. Some of us, have stops here, and it's okay. It is all right. Whatever your journey is your own journey. We're here for everybody. When the time comes and things are put in our way, sometimes we're ready for them. Sometimes we may not be ready for them. Just sometimes life takes you other directions. But the most important thing is to stay close.
Yes.
You stay close when the time comes. Like you said, that familiar smell, that familiar sound, bring you right on through the door. Right on through the door. And everything else will take care of itself from this. So that's absolutely wonderful. So kind of this second to last question that we're kind of just kind of playing around with. So if I were to ask you about your chorister Mount Rushmore, maybe some influential folks, however you decide to do that, maybe about a group of four choristers that kind of fit on that Mount Rushmore, who would that be for you?
Before I get to answer that question, I just thought it's something I wanted to add. So another influence along, I would say musical influence or during Caucus was definitely Cherubs. So I want to make sure I definitely mentioned the Cherubs. So like I said, my sister was in the Cherubs. And another person that I really looked up to from the Cherubs was Debbie Keelan.
Yes.
And she sang, "Lord, Is It I?"
Yes, indeed.
Come on now.
Yes, indeed.
And so I was, like I said, 13, 14. I was way too young to, to be in the Cherubs at the time. But then Cherubs, they did like a research, like they did again with the new Cherubs later on. And myself and Monique and my cousin Kim Golden, Felicia Golden, we be in it. And that was an honor at that time.
Yes.
That was the...
beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful. The Cherubs. Now who was the director for the Cherubs?
Of course, Brother Fur, Brother William Fur. Bo, Uncle Bo, as I call him, but William Bo Fur. Oh my goodness.
Yes, indeed. So I'm sure Brother Bo is probably one of those names on your Mount Rushmore.
Oh, absolutely. Brother Bo. And Brother Matthew Caldwell. The truth is the truth.
All right.
I do love when my Uncle Simon leads.
Yes.
So I would say Elder Simon Cordovan, which
yes, indeed.
He needs to be leading the choir. See, anyway.
He said the same thing. He alluded to the same thing. He's like, they pulled me out the choir.
No, they shouldn't do that.
Oh Lord!
Yeah,
that's weird. Space for one more. Anyone else?
Wow! I mean, there's so many great. I would say Valerie. Say Valerie for all of her.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I just love her spirit. I love the way she supported my brother and everything too.
Yes.
She's just, and my niece loves her too. We just like fans,
Yes. Absolutely. Those of you that, Absolutely. So, too, I can speak a little bit on St. Valerie's part as far as the relationship. So, brother Ernest Jones Jr. Was, I guess, part of the one of the major technical supports for the National Chorus when we had various concerts and things like that. So, St. Valerie would lean, you know, on his technical. Because brother, and I don't know what his background professional, but I know he did a lot of producing, and you know, he even had some experience with them.
Audio visual.
That was his thing. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was his thing. So he was certainly one of those. Certainly one of the ones that St. Valerie, you know, with the National Chorus. Even the brothers had a chance to go into his studio one time to do some things there. So it's always good to call brother Ernest's name. So, and certainly, you know, adding St. Valerie to that Mount Rushmore. Absolutely, absolutely.
If the word is the clue, you can find the Tune Song Association.
YouTube audience, so after you just heard that wonderful introduction, you know what time it is. It's time for the Song Association part of today's episode. So for those of you that are new to the lounge, during this segment, what I do is I give a couple of words to our guest and see what words come out of their musical mind just based off of their experiences and just their musical journey. So I am certainly looking forward to this particular song association with St. Jackie. So I have five words for you, and we're just going to see what comes out of you all. Know St. Jackie has just one of the most velvety smooth voices out there. So you're in for a treat if you've never heard her before. All right. So St. Jackie, first word for you. If I give you the word music, what song comes to mind?
Okay. Music. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music. Be a God somewhere.
Yes, Lord. Yes, indeed. Come on, you're trying to contain myself. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. All right, we're one for one. We are one for one. Off to a strong start. Next song. If I give you the word... actually, I'm going to go back to it. If I give you the word altar, okay. What song comes to mind?
Okay. Song we used to sing back in the old time Newark days.
Yeah.
Bring all your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord. For he is so willing and able to help you. Bring all your needs to the Lord.
Lord have mercy. Brings back some fond yes. memories. Fond yes. memories. And I know that you mentioned that your mother did some research on that song.
Yes.
What do you remember?
Elta Glenn Thomas brought that song to our organization. Mm-hmm. And then my mom found out that a woman named Dottie Rambo wrote it. And so she had some other verses and stuff from Dottie Rambo's recording.
And I understand that Dottie Rambo, just for the sake of the record, let's call your mother's name. What's your mother's name for the sake of the record?
Aquila Jones.
Yes, ma'am. Late St. Aquila Jones, who was a Mother Sarah par excellence there in the North Tabernacle. But Dottie Rambo, also understand, wrote that song Amazing Grace as well.
Yes. So most of us know that Amazing Grace that I do, and also my niece Chantrice does right
just
now.
Just give a quick taste of that, so we know which one we're talking about.
Amazing grace, shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just how he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs.
Lord have mercy. So that was like a two for one. That was like a two for one right there. Beautiful.
Yes,
but both of those written by the same person,
yes,
Dottie Rambo.
So what happened was the song is obviously from
Danny Boy.
Yes, from Danny mm-hmm. Boy. Danny mm-hmm. Boy, mm-hmm. And Dottie Rambo took that song, that melody, and put mm-hmm. lyrics to it. Amazing Grace, but she originally had more of like for a Christian audience, mm-hmm. and it was to Calvary, some of the words at Calvary in it and things like that. So my mom changed some of the lyrics to make it more Kagasak friendly.
Awesome. So let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Are you saying that your mother actually is the one that
tweaked the lyrics
to the version that you and St. Chantry?
Yeah, me and Shane Chantry's Barnes. Yes.
I didn't know that until today. You hear that, YouTube audience? I'm learning stuff as we go. That is beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure she's the one that taught us the song.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, mm-hmm. so moving on. I think I have a couple more here for you. So if I give you the word follow. Follow. What song comes to mind?
Okay, love has truly been good to me. Not even one sad day or minute have I had since you come my way. I hope you know I'd gladly go anywhere you take me. It's so amazing to be loved. I'd follow you to the moon and stars above.
Lord have mercy. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so two more.
College too with So Amazing.
Yeah.
From Luther Vandross, and the person that played with Luther, well, actually he was his music director for the whole time. His name is Nat Adderley Jr. He's mm-hmm. from the musical family, Nat Adderley and Cannonball Adderley. They're jazz legends. So Nat Adderley Jr., son, we actually play together a lot locally.
Okay.
He's one of my
friends.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's a small world. She didn't even realize it. See.
If you look at any Luther Vandross videos or documentary, he's the music director. Plays
awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And you all are, amen. Lord have mercy. All right, two more for you. If I give you the word, and this is kind of coming from your own personal catalog, mm-hmm. I would say, if I give you the word me, what song comes to mind?
Oh, let's see if I remember this song. If I could find just the words, I'd say them all to you. If I could with just a phrase make what I feel plain and true, I'd say first, I love you so. And more than that, I'd surely let you know what it means to feel this way and know each day you're part of me, the best part of me in every way.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Goodness. So tell us a little bit about just, you know, even in this song association area. Tell us a little bit about that song, where that song comes from. Like I said, I know it's part of your personal catalog, so to speak.
Yeah. So that is a song that is from my CD many, many years ago. It's called Part of Me. The song is called Part of Me, and the title of the CD is called Part of Me.
Yes.
And that's the one that's still available on Amazon and Spotify and things like that, and Apple Music. So
what I always say, God, I say this to the YouTube audience all the time that have been watching this far along. It's not a brag, when it's a fact. You can find that on Spotify, Apple Music. Go get it right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so last song for the Song Association. If I give you the word love, what song comes to mind?
So, you know, that song, Evergreen, which I had the total pleasure of doing it, this song with the brothers many years ago. It says you and your brother,
yes,
and Blake,
yes,
and was it
for the John Roberts, John Roberts.
Yes. Man, so yes, I that was just such an honor for me.
Honor for us, just to be able to sing a little background, harmonize a little bit.
Thank you. Oh my God. So, you know what? I'll sing a little bit now. I'll just say something else about the arrangement.
Okay.
Evergreen, just in case anyone doesn't know it, it's a song. It's actually by Barbara Streisand. She was a co-writer, that song. And so it's love, soft as an easy chair. Love, fresh as the morning air. One love that is shared by two, I have found with you. That's a little bit of it. But, but the thing about that is that, so my Uncle Simon.
Yes. Elder Dr. Simon Quattlebaum, who you all know, YouTube on. We interviewed him last season. Yes, ma'am. Right. Yes, ma'am.
That's a great interview. I saw that too. And my, so that's my mother's brother. So he did the arrangement of it. And so what I found out was, okay, so I love that arrangement that we started out with. What, remember?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I was in the car with him just the other day, and what came on was that the song, Where It's From.
Yeah.
You remember Where It's From? It's from the Shy Lights. Have You Seen Her?
Yes.
Tell me, have you seen? So it starts out like that. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. That's where I couldn't. I knew it came from another song. I couldn't remember. And also, now you guys get a bonus point if you can tell me where else that song, that intro is from in Kagasak. Maybe they don't do it that much in Kagasak, but it's the Cherubs.
Oh, really?
Yes. So Bread of Heaven. When they did, that was Brother Furs, Brother William Brofer, who, that is my.
Yeah. We're certainly going to get, yes, indeed.
He made that, did that arrangement of Bread of
Heaven. So he put that Shy Light intro onto Bread of Heaven?
Yes.
Lord!
And that's right in the beginning of Bread of Heaven. Ooh. When the Cherubs do it.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Yes, indeed. We're going to come back to that. Oh.
But that's a genius mind, right? I love that mashup. I love that.
Just Lord have mercy. Brother Bo in a class by himself, as we know. Okay. So just kind of before we go out, is there anything else that's on your heart that you wanted to share with the YouTube audience? And YouTube audience, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time here. But St. Jack, I'll turn the floor over to you for anything that you have on your heart. If you have another song on your heart, we're more than open to hearing that, but just thank you so much. As we'll give you the final word for today.
You know, I don't, but it's funny. I feel like it's probably a better song. But what's coming to me is just, I guess, my this is dedicated to you and brother Blake. And this, it is good to be here.
Yeah,
it is good to be here. Perfect love that drives away all my fear. Perfect truth coming down makes my pathway all clear. It is good for us all to be here. I just thank you and Brother Blake for making this painless for me, because, you know, it's very, very nervous. And so I appreciate that. And just acknowledge you too. You are just doing such a magnificent job with this. And it's just, it's fun to watch. And I watch the other episodes and I'm like, oh, and I see the pictures. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's super. You know, it was in the videos. It's very entertaining and very, informative. So, and that, the theme song from last year was awesome, and then you guys stepped it up enough. What that song? What did that
mean? Yeah, the second one, that was Brother LaRoyal Smith, Baltimore, yes, Maryland. Yes, indeed. And hopefully we'll be knocking on his door soon as yeah. well. So just stay tuned.
That makes sense right there.
Absolutely. But listen, St. Jackie, it has been an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you. Thank you so much just for carving out a little bit of time here in the Choristers Lounge for us. YouTube audience, thank you for just engaging with us. Continue to be part of the journey. Again, just want to encourage you to continue to like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel and the various social media platforms, the various places that you can find the podcast, of course. Brother Blake here, like I said, the engine that makes this whole thing go. We just appreciate your continued support. Like I said, season 2 is off and running. We're looking forward to just giving you more content as we move forward. And we look forward to welcoming you again the next time the Choristers Lounge opens its doors. So with that, I will say God bless and keep you is my prayer. And looking forward to welcoming you again the next time we open the doors. God bless.
Thank you for joining us on the Choristers Lounge.
Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head.
What?